Welcome to Ghouls Night Out with your hostesses, Brandy and Jody.
Hello, beautiful ghouls. Welcome. This is Brandy. I'm here with my sister, Jody.
Hello.
I have some coincidences to start with.
Ooh, I like those.
Me too. It says, walking through a graveyard yesterday, I stepped on a broken piece of headstone with just my birthday inscribed on it.
Ooh.
Ugh. I know.
I don't like that. That's creepy.
I have a picture
of it. Oh, wow.
It's like the corner just broke off with their birthday on it.
Mm.
It says, my best friend died via assisted suicide at my house. Did an AMA a while back. Ask me anything.
Oh.
After she drank the lethal cocktail, she slipped into a coma, and then it took about 40 minutes for her to finally pass. We kept taking her pulse every 2 minutes or so. Finally, my Great Dane, who had been sleeping, bolted upright and let out one muffled woof, then stared directly at my friend. Then her eyes tracked slowly up from her through the air up toward the ceiling. We leaned over to take her pulse again, and this time she was gone.
Oh, the doggy saw something.
Yes. Next one picked a bunch of flowers to put on top of a random grave while I was on a walk at a cemetery. After 20 minutes, my arm holding the flowers shoots out behind my back. I figure that the grave it's pointing to is the lonely grave that wants the flowers. The names on the grave were mine and my father's full name with the same spelling. We have a pretty uncommon last name. Turns out it was our ancestors.
Ooh, that's creepy. Yeah, Wait a minute. What do you mean? What do they mean their arm shot out?
I don't know.
What?
I don't know. Like it was pulling them toward the... Okay. But if they followed it and it was their ancestors, that's pretty freaking weird.
That's creepy.
Yeah. Next one, stopped my CD player in my car because it was playing a song that reminded me of a dead friend. Switched to the radio, same song, note for note, 3 years after it had been released.
Hmm.
They wanted to listen to that freaking song.
They wanted you to know they were there.
Exactly. I went to the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington when I was 12. When you first go in, they give you this passport thing, which tells you a story of someone who lived during the Holocaust. The one that I got was a young man whose birthday was the same as mine, except 50 years prior. The day I went to the museum was 50 years to the day since his death. So they show a picture of what they gave. I read this on March 27th, okay?
Mm-hmm.
March 29th is my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
This is March 28th, 1928, which was when this kid was born.
Hmm.
And I was reading about coincidences.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So 2 days before my birthday, 1 day before this and this kid's birthday, and I was reading that, I was like, oh my God, it was creepy.
Yeah.
My husband and I met in our late 20s. We grew up near each other, went to different high schools and colleges, were a few years apart, and hung out with completely different crowds. My parents put a bid on a house next to his parents when I was about 11. It fell through, and we moved elsewhere. While in college, he traveled to my school to compete in games. Since it was homecoming, he ended up briefly watching the parade. Out of hundreds of people, he remembers me and telling his friend I was a cool chick. We've read this one. Not only had I been drinking, but I was dressed as a crab and standing next to Ariel from The Little Mermaid. While attending a house party with my now husband, I was looking at pics on the wall taken at parties his friends had thrown back in high school. I was in one side of the pic, and he was on the other side of a big group. I went to about 20 parties back in the day, and I do not remember ever partying anywhere near his area. My husband and I were best friends with a guy and a girl who are cousins. We both went to endless family gatherings, but never met. We heard stories about each other and had never even seen a picture of one another. After 6 years, we finally met and were an item by the end of the night, and we've been together ever since.
Hmm, that's cute.
It is. And they were it's fate. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to meet until, you know. I once read or heard a story about these two newlyweds that were going through family photos. The wife stumbled upon a photo of herself at Disney World as a child, posing with some character in a costume. In the background of the photo, they found the husband being pushed in a stroller. The picture was taken like 15 years before they were married, and they lived in separate countries at the time. It was a complete coincidence that both of them were in the same snapshot.
That's cool.
That is cool. I was listening to Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon while driving into my ranch this morning. The lyric, Run, Rabbit, Run, came on just as a rabbit simultaneously was running off the road. When I was 16, I went to pick up my little brother from soccer practice. On the way home, he goes, do you ever get the feeling your whole life is about to change? This was uncharacteristically weird of him, since he tends to be pretty bro in his daily life, and I'm the emo sibling. And I said, I don't know, things like nothing ever changes. Anyway, we pull into our street, and out of the blue, he goes, someone died. I was like, what? Then we pulled around the corner, and all these cars were parked in front of our house. Turns out our dad died at work.
Oh.
That's sad. If you guys hear that, there's a little kid next door riding a bike. So I don't know if you can hear that or not, but it's annoying. After my great aunt Lynn passed away, my other great aunt Cynthia was walking home in the rain. Obviously, she was pretty sad and said, Lynn, show me some proof that you're still here. My aunt Lynn collected these rare things called Indian medicine bags. Somehow, Cynthia found one on the ground in the rain. Inside were six paper dolls, four girls and two guys. One of the girls was wearing pants. The coincidence, in her family, there are four sisters and two brothers. Aunt Lynn always wore pants.
Hmm. That's cool.
Yeah. Last December, I had a bad dream early-ish in the morning that my dad had stopped taking his liver medication and he was going to die. In the dream, I asked why he had been so careless, but then he said that it was just his time. When I woke up, my sister texted me that my dad was in the hospital. He passed 3 weeks later due to, of course, liver complications from not taking his medication.
That's just stupid.
Yeah. When I was around 10 years old and my mom took my siblings and I to an Elvis impersonator show, after the show, he was signing scarves and things. He was the kind of local celebrity in my medium-sized Florida city. The person in front of us had the same uncommon name as me and was about my age. I said that was my name as well. We thought it was cool, but never saw each other again. A few years later, I'm camping with my family in New Hampshire. The campground is a small playground, and I'm on the swings. I hear someone call my name, turn to see the same person was there telling their family they were going to the playground. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I was working as a contractor in a sanitarium for the mentally deranged. I happened to notice a nameplate on a door that had my very unique last name on it. Turns out it was my great aunt. She was living there.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. My best friend was on a father-son fishing trip in Ontario. I'm from North Dakota. There's a bridge that's apparently 50 to 60 feet above the water. My friend was with another mutual friend who had went on the trip. These two had a tradition of jumping off the bridge into the water. On this particular trip, my friend's dad had a crazy dream where one of them jumped off and died. It shook him to the point where he made all the people on the trip promise they wouldn't jump. My two friends ignored the warning and went for it anyway. As you already figured out, my friend never came out of the water. One of the best people I ever met, gone.
Oh, that's sad.
Yep. When my cousin and I were babies, we're about 2 years apart, we were sleeping in my room while our moms were wrapping Christmas presents since it was around Christmas time. They were downstairs wrapping presents when they hear on the baby monitor a woman saying to my cousin, who was starting to cry, "Don't worry, your mom will be here soon." My mom and aunt run upstairs, and no one's there. Plus, no one else on the street had a baby, so there was no interference. That was a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And my last one. When I was in high school, I was around the time Princess Diana had died. I visited my grandmother at her job at a doctor's office to have lunch with her. Everyone in the break room was watching coverage of the funeral when my grandmother said, "I wonder if Mother Teresa would get this kind of coverage if she died." Like clockwork, the announcer came on and told the breaking news that Mother Teresa had passed away. Everyone did a slow head turn eye contact with my grandmother. To this day, my grandmother swears it was a coincidence.
Yeah. All right, so this week I'm reading some more stories from Strange Intruders by David Weatherly.
Okay.
So the first subject is Pukwudgies.
Oh, yeah.
Pukwudgies have a long history in southeastern Massachusetts. Well before the first colonists settled down in the States, natives told stories of the little creatures. In the early days of European settlement, the Pukwudgies were still a vital part of native traditions. There are numerous spellings for the little creatures discussed in this chapter. Most of the terms translate to mean little people, little man of the woods, or similar associations. It would be easy to dismiss the Pukwudgie as nothing more than a legend from the past. They do, after all, sound like a classical mythological creature, similar to the little people found in other cultures around the world. The Pukwudgies, however, have never really vanished. Today, sightings and encounters continue to be reported on a regular basis. While the creatures have been reported in locations all over the Northeast, some areas, such as the infamous Bridgewater Triangle, are hotspots for their activity. The Pukwudgie is a small, troll-like creature usually associated with the folklore of the Wampanoag Indians of Massachusetts. The creatures are between 2 and 3 feet tall. They resemble humans somewhat, but their features are exaggerated. They have thick hair on their bodies, large ears, oversized mouths, and oversized noses that sometimes look canine. Their fingers are long, and their skin is usually described as being smooth and bluish-gray or ashen in color. So today I'm going to tell the story of Pukwudgies in Indiana. The Pukwudgies are also reported outside of their home state of Massachusetts. There are accounts of them in New Hampshire, Maine, and Rhode Island. There are also Pukwudgie stories from Indiana. In June 1927, while hiking along Indiana's White River, 10-year-old Paul Startzman found an abandoned gravel pit and there met a 2-foot-tall man wearing a light blue robe. "We stood about 10 yards apart and looked at each other," Startzman later said. "He had thick, dark blonde hair, and his face was round and pinkish in color, like it was sunburned. After a moment, the tiny barefoot figure turned and fled into the woods." Startzman claimed he later had another meeting with the little man in the same area. Startzman had a friend with him during the second encounter, and he reported the small man followed behind them for some time before vanishing among the trees. Startzman also talked to reporters about his encounter, and it was noted the boy's mother was full-blooded Native American, perhaps indicating a connection to the little people through heritage. Although this is the only account that Newton lists in this in his book, it is not the only Pukwudgie encounter to come out of the state of Indiana. Recent reports claim the little creatures are active around Mound State Park in Anderson, Indiana. Located in the central part of the state, the park contains 10 ceremonial mounds built by the prehistoric Adena culture. The area was later used by the Hopewell culture. There are many native legends around the park and its ancient mounds. Perhaps the Pukwudgies made their way to the location at some point, or maybe they have been there much longer than anyone realizes.
I've been there.
Have you?
Yes.
Ew. Creepy.
No Pukwudgies?
I didn't see any of that.
My next story is The Fairfield Mummy. Cypress, Texas is a quiet town northwest of Houston. In January 2011, in the Fairfield area of Cypress, residents were dealing with an unusual problem. There was a mummy prowling the neighborhood.
What?
According to Houston's KPRC News, Fairfield area residents were living in fear since the figure, described as a mummy, had started running around the quiet suburban neighborhood. Cypress homeowner John Hill called the police after he spotted the strange entity moving around the front yard of his home on Chestnut Falls Drive. According to Hill, the being had bandages like a mummy. He looked like a mummy. It's scary not knowing what this man is up to or what he wants. Numerous people have spotted the mummy on more than one occasion. The Harris County Sheriff's Department advised residents to call 911 immediately if they spotted the creepy character. Authorities were convinced the figure was merely a man dressed as a mummy, but were unsure about his motives. Area resident Stephen Sheffield echoed the feelings of many in his neighborhood. It's creepy, especially since he's here in the neighborhood with the kids and stuff.
Brilliant quote by someone in Indiana.
Yeah. That about sums it up.
That's hilarious, too. If that's some dude in a fucking mummy costume.
Reptoids, Italian style. Oh. On the cold night of December 6, 1978, 26-year-old Pierre Fortunato Zanfretta had the first in a series of bizarre encounters with otherworldly creatures. Zanfretta was employed as a private security guard and was on patrol in the small Italian village of Torriglia. Traveling carefully on the icy roads, Zanfretta was on his way to check on the empty home of Dr. Ettore Righi when his car suddenly died. The Fiat's engine, lights, and radio all went off at the same moment, not far from the Righi home. Zanfretta spotted four lights moving around the garden of the home and believed thieves were attempting to break into the house. Revolver and flashlight in hand, Zanfretti slipped into the home's open gate and followed a rock wall toward the lights, hoping to surprise the would-be thieves. It was Zanfretta, however, who received the surprise. Preparing to leap out at the criminals, the young guard felt something touch his shoulder from behind. Whirling around, he was confronted, not by a human thief, but by a frightening creature that he later described as an enormous, green, ugly, and frightful creature with undulating skin, as though he were very fat or dressed in a loose gray tunic, no less than 10 feet tall. Zanfretta later stated the creature had greenish skin and yellow triangular eyes and red veins across the forehead. The creature also had points on the side of its face. Many in UFO circles believe this was an example of what has come to be called a reptilian or reptoid. After rushing away from the weird creature before him, Zanfretta reached his car only to see a bright light rise up behind him. Looking over his shoulder, he observed a massive, flat, triangular-shaped craft emitting a blinding light. The craft was bigger than the house that it was rising over. A blast of heat rolled over the guard as he struggled to the radio in his car. At 12:15, he reached the security company's radio operator, Carlo Tacchellino. Tacchellino listened to Zanfretta, but at first he couldn't understand the incoherent ramblings coming from the guard. It was clear Zanfretta was very excited. The operator heard him repeating, "My God, are they ugly!" He asked the guard to calm down and describe the men who had assaulted him, at which point Zanfretta replied, "No, they aren't men. They aren't men." Then suddenly the communication ended. The company's security chief promptly sent another patrol car to the location. Foul weather and dangerous driving conditions made it difficult to reach the site, and an hour had passed before the second car arrived. The guards, Walter Loria and Raimondo Maschia, arrived at 1:15. They found Sanfretta lying in a prone position in front of the house. Seeing the two men walking towards him, Zanfretta leapt up and pointed his revolver at them. Seeing his panicked state, the two guards rushed Zanfretta before he could harm them or himself. The two men later stated that despite the fact he'd been lying on the frozen ground, Zanfretta was warm. The Carabinieri Italian police were called to the scene to investigate. They found strange marks on the ground behind the house. It was clear something large and heavy had left the two impressions. The marks were 9 feet in diameter and shaped like horseshoes. Some speculated they were landing marks from a UFO. During the investigation, 52 residents of the village reported seeing bright lights emanating from the direction of the Righi house that night. Reporters got wind of the story and the press had a field day, many making fun of it, at least those who would cover a UFO story. Some simply reported the incident as it was recounted. Others were brutal, calling Zanfretta everything from a mental case to an outright liar. However, one reporter took the incident seriously. Reno DiStefano was working for... I can't even read that. The local Genoa daily newspaper. DiStefano found the case intriguing and wrote several articles chronicling the events. Not only were there 52 other witnesses to the UFO's lights, the reporter also found it unlikely that Zanfretta, a father of two and a reputed honest man, would make up such a story. As DiStefano wrote, Zanfretta didn't want to be famous. He refused the notoriety because he was worried about his job and his family. Trying to understand what he had gone through and uncover more of the facts, Zanfretta agreed to undergo hypnosis. Dr. Mauro Moretti, a psychotherapist and member of the Italian Association of Medical Hypnosis, conducted the sessions. Under hypnosis, Zanfretta recalled more details of his weird experience, learning that not only had he encountered aliens, they had also abducted him. Further details emerged from Zanfretta while under hypnosis. He said the creatures didn't speak to him in Italian, but used a luminous device to translate their own language. Disturbingly, Zanfretta also said the creatures from a planet in the third galaxy want to talk with us and that they will soon return in large numbers. The saga of Pierre Zanfretta doesn't end there, though. He had yet another encounter with aliens on the evening of December 26. On a rain-soaked road near the Scafera Pass, the guard lost control of his car, not due to the slick pavement, but due to something taking over the controls. A panic call on his radio once again sent assistance his way, but not before he radioed back reporting, "The car has stopped. I saw a bright light. Now I am getting out." An hour later, Zanfretta was found in a nearby field by officers who had answered the call. Despite the pouring rain, Zanfretta was warm and dry. The Carabinieri found themselves again investigating a scene involving this lone security guard. Zanfretta's Smith & Wesson revolver was recovered and 5 bullets had been fired. The guard claimed he had no recollection of using the weapon. When the Carabinieri examined Zanfretta's car, they noted it was hot as an oven inside and out, despite the cold rain. Even more puzzling, the car was surrounded by shoe prints that measured 20 inches long by 8 inches wide. A bare spot was obvious between the sole and the heel of the prints, but no one could offer any explanation for the tracks. Since shots had been fired at the scene, the Carabinieri launched a probe into the incident and issued an official report. The data was collected on January 3, 1979. It seemed no one really knew what to do with the information. A year later, January 11, 1980, the papers were rubber-stamped, "No crime committed," and filed away. While the Carabinieri were reviewing the case file, they informed both the Italian Department of the Interior and other military commands. They rated the reliability of Zanfretta's weird accounts as good. In 1978, Italy was having a massive wave of UFO sightings. Interest was at a high point, and the military and government were both paying attention. Zanfretta became a bit of a celebrity, but he still didn't like the attention that was focused on him. He agreed to another hypnosis session, this time allowing it to be televised in an attempt to show he was not a mental case. In a trance state, Zanfretta related his bizarre tale of an alien encounter and abduction. Viewer numbers were in the hundreds of thousands, but the show didn't have the effect Zanfretta was hoping for. Skeptics merely used the show to add fuel to their fire, and it took a long while for the attention to finally die off. Zanfretta was examined by a prominent neurologist from Genoa who pronounced him perfectly sane, but in a state of shock. The attention on the security guard had grown well beyond the borders of Italy, with stories of his experiences appearing in media around the world. It was months before attention on the case started to die down. But yet again, Zanfretta's tale was not finished. The guard was abducted again on the night of July 30, 1979. This time he was riding a motorcycle in a residential neighborhood in Genoa. Am I saying that word right?
Yeah.
Okay. Again, he was found by fellow security officers, this time at the top of Mount Fasca. After his abduction, Zanfretta had another hypnosis session. At his own request, Zanfretta was injected with a truth serum prior to the session. Under these conditions, the guard affirmed all of the previous information he had given about his abductions was true, and that during the last encounter he had been taken to a spaceship by a green light. Professor Margot Marcheson, who injected the man with the truth serum, stated, "No human being can knowingly lie while he is under pentothal treatment, so I think it's very probable Zanfretta had these encounters." A few months later, December 2nd, 1979, Zanfretta was taken again. Other officers on patrol reported spotting a UFO, and one even fired his revolver at it to no avail. As if Zanfretta's encounters couldn't get any stranger, the details that emerged from this latest incident introduce a new element: a grinning man. Stopping at a self-service gas station in Genoa, Zanfretta climbed out of his patrol car only to hear someone calling for him. In the shadows outside of the station was a strange figure. According to Zanfretta, the man was a tall, human-looking figure with a bald, egg-shaped head. He was dressed in a checkered suit and wore what appeared to be a steel breastplate instead of a shirt. The grinning man's voice compelled Zanfretta to do as he was told. He was commanded to drive his car into a cloud hovering just above the ground nearby. Once inside the cloud, the entire car was lifted and transported into a spaceship. During one of his latest abductions, the aliens gave Zanfretta a mysterious object. It was a large, transparent sphere with a pyramid inside. Sparks discharged and jumped from the vertices of the pyramid towards the inside of the sphere. The beings told Zanfretta that, with the sphere, it was possible to understand them and how they lived. During a hypnosis session, Zanfretta recounted that he didn't want to take the sphere. He told the aliens he was finished and wanted nothing to do with them or the sphere. They were insistent, however, and told Zanfretta he was to give the sphere to a man named Dr. J. Allen Hynek. Zanfretta claimed to have no idea who Hynek was. Hynek was best known for his UFO research and his part in the U.S. government's Project Blue Book, an attempt to discredit UFO sightings. Pressed further about the mysterious sphere and pyramid, Zanfretta stated he hid the object in the hills outside Genoa and that he is waiting. Hynek passed away in 1986, so the sphere was truly supposed to go to him. The opportunity has been lost. Zanfretta was abducted two more times, once in February of 1980, and later the same year in August. His last hypnosis sessions took another weird turn when he began to speak in what was believed to be an alien language a portion of the time. He was out of control and would not cooperate with Dr. Moretti, who was conducting the session. One of the last things he communicated in English was, "To believe or not to believe doesn't mean anything, each thing in its own time." Journalist Reno DiStefano stayed in contact with Zanfretta over the years, eventually writing a book about the case, which was published in 1984. It remains the only chronicle that details this amazing case.
That is crazy.
Isn't that weird?
And it's so crazy to hear about stories like this now, because, you know, we've basically been told that, yeah, there's shit out there that we don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, so many, like you said, like the press was making fun of him and all this shit, and like to know now that, yeah, that was freaking real.
Oh, that's scary.
It is scary.
And my last story, Black-Eyed Spirit. I received an intriguing account of BEKs from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. While it is typical to many, in many respects, there's at least one stark difference from most black-eyed child encounters. The BEK does not seem to be completely physical in form. The child does not exhibit any feet, rather the body simply fades away at the lower part of the legs. This led the witness to believe he had encountered a ghost. My wife and I moved to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in 2001. She had family in the area and she'd always wanted to be close to them. At first, we rented an apartment for a year while we settled into new jobs. Once the year was up and we had decided to stay in the area, we started looking for a house. By 2002, we moved into our own house, a one-story place that we found for a good price. The neighborhood was clean and quiet, and within a couple of months, we had met most of the families on the block. It was a great place to live. My wife and I both worked about the same hours, so except for occasional overtime, we usually arrived home around the same time. The strange incident happened to us in September of 2002. It was a weekday, around the latter part of the month. I got home first, and my wife about a half hour after me. We walked for a minute, but my wife wasn't feeling too well, so she went to the bedroom. Oh, sorry. We talked for a minute, but my wife wasn't feeling too well, so she went to the bedroom to lay down. I was sitting in the living room watching some sports. About 15 minutes after my wife had gone to the bedroom, there was a knock at the front door. It was sort of loud, and I didn't want it to wake her, so I put my drink and the TV remote down and quickly got up. It was strange because the knocking just kept going. The person wouldn't let up. When I opened the door, there was this kid standing on the step. He was wearing a gray hooded top, and his hands were stuck in the pockets. I wondered for a moment how he had been knocking because his hands were in his pockets. I'd never seen this boy in the neighborhood before. He was staring straight at me, and his look was rather mean. Before I even said anything, the kid says, "I want to come into your house now." The hair on the back of my neck went up. This kid's tone was so cold. He looked about 10 years old, and this didn't sound right coming from him. I looked at him and realized his eyes were solid black. I felt like I was starting to panic. I don't know why I did it, but I looked beyond him out to the street. Maybe I was hoping there was someone else out there. I don't know. When I looked back at the boy, I only glanced at his face. I couldn't stand those eyes. Then I glanced down and realized I couldn't really see his feet. I know how strange this sounds. I don't really know how to explain it. It's almost like his legs just faded away. I slammed the door on him and turned around to see my wife rushing into the room. She looked frightened and said to me, "There's a kid knocking on the bedroom window and he has black eyes."
Oh my God.
I was so stunned, I didn't know what to say. I opened the front door again, but there was no one there. I ran outside and went to the corner of the house where our bedroom windows were. Again, there was no one there. There must have been two of those kids, but I simply can't imagine that they were able to get away from the house so quickly. There was something so unnatural about the boy I saw standing on the steps, and I've never understood why I couldn't see his feet. For a long time, I thought that we had seen ghosts. It's only in the past year that we came across stories of the black-eyed children on the internet. We now believe this is what we witnessed. Thankfully, they never returned. Perhaps this account offers a vital clue in terms of the BEKs and their seeming ability to come and go so quickly. If their true nature is something akin to a spirit, then they may be able to materialize at will. They do, after all, share many traits in common with apparitions. A malicious spirit taking physical form in order to cause trouble could fit the bill and explain black-eyed kid encounters. That is, except for the other nagging aspects that are not akin to ghostly manifestations. As always, the more information we have, the more questions we have.
That's so creepy.
I know.
Oh my God, and the fact that there was someone knocking on the bedroom window. Oh my gosh.
Don't like it.
No, that's creepy. I hate black-eyed kids.
I know. Me too.
Okay, I just have some creepy things.
Cool.
It was around 1972. I was on a Boy Scout trip to Gettysburg. We just finished lunch and were playing hide-and-seek on one of the battlefields. There were a few cannons and a couple of trees to hide behind. About 15 of us headed for the woods. I was one of the first to make it. I dove behind a tree and looked out around to see if it was clear. There was nobody anywhere, so I turned to run around. So I turned around to run, and there was a guy in overalls right in front of me. He had no face. I backed up and he said, "What do you want?" I backed up some more and bolted. When I turned to look behind me, no one was there. To this day, I still wonder who or what that was. I've been back a few times looking for him, but I guess he doesn't want to be seen. I was 11 or 12 at the time, and I'll never forget that feeling.
How could he talk to him if he didn't have a face?
Don't know. That's creepy.
Ew.
My family and I got our first dog when I was a young teen. She lived with us for 15 years, and it was pretty devastating when she passed, because we'd never had a pet before. 4 days after she passed, we had a family friend over with a young son who was 3 or 4. They were from an out of town. The son had never been to our house before, and we hadn't seen him since he was a baby. He had no idea that we had a dog or anything. That night, We were having dinner, and he looked under the table and said, I don't like your ghost dog.
Yeah.
We all stopped and stared at him. His dad was like, what did you say? He repeated, I don't like your ghost dog, while looking under the table. Our dog always laid at our feet under the table. There's no way this kid had any idea. We hadn't been talking about our dog because it was still fresh for us. I have no doubt she must have been hanging around and having dinner with us. Honestly, it was actually comforting to know she was with us.
Aww.
I know. One morning, early, my 4-year-old daughter woke up screaming from a nightmare. She said she saw a jet hit a really tall building and people were falling and dying. It took a long time to calm her down. A couple hours later, I was in the bath and both kids started yelling at me to come right now. It was the morning of 9/11 and we were all pretty freaked out to see my daughter's nightmare happening in real life.
Ooh.
That is horrifying.
Yeah.
If she actually dreamed that.
That's one thing I would not like to have.
Premonitions of awful things. Yeah, yes. That would be awful. Like, dealing with that when you're a child? No. In 1970, I was 6. I was in hospital for pneumonia. Mom and Dad had given me dimes for the payphone so I could call home when I got lonely. One day, I walked to the payphone and called them. My grandmother answered, and we talked for a minute. Then she suddenly said, try again, said goodbye, and abruptly hung up the phone. I phoned home again, and my mom answered, so I asked her if Grandma was there. She said, no, she's at home. Many things were strange about this. I was only 6. I barely had my phone number memorized. I didn't know my grandmother's phone number. My grandparents would have been a long distance call, yet I didn't need to deposit additional money to talk to her. And my grandparents were on a party line. How could such a specific mistake happen? Still, nobody else treated it as unusual. My grandmother just shrugged when I brought it up the next time.
Well, what? Did her grandmother remember talking to her?
It sounds like it. Weird.
Hmm.
I got up to use the bathroom one night, then returned to the bedroom where my husband was asleep. This bedroom had sheer curtains, and there was a street light outside, so there was always some light in there. This night, though, I walked back into a complete darkness. I'd taken about 3 steps into the room when I slammed into what felt like half a wall. My upper abdomen hit the top of the wall hard. Reacting, I put my arms out in front of myself and only felt air. I was very confused, and then fear set in. I was in utter darkness and quickly realized there was absolutely no sound at all. I could not imagine what I had walked into, as the only thing ahead should have been a low, soft foot of my bed. I slowly lowered my arms and felt the top of the wall, then over and behind the thing. It was thin, and the other side had a rough texture. No idea what it was. Nothing in my room would have been there or felt like that. This had all happened in just a few seconds. I suddenly didn't know where I was. It certainly didn't seem to be my bedroom. My desk should have been a few feet to my left, so carefully I stepped sideways and reached out to feel for it. There was nothing there. For a moment, I was too scared to move again. For some reason, I was afraid there would be no floor. Finally, I forced myself to turn around back toward the door I had just entered. When I did, I could see a few faint sort of glowing lines where the door frame would be. Not the whole outline, just a few little bits. The light switch was next to the door, so I made myself step in that direction and reached out and felt the switch. I flipped it, and the ceiling light came on. The bedroom was completely normal, and my husband was there in bed snoring loudly. I just stood there shaking. A minute later, my husband opened his eyes and asked why the bright light was on. I told him what had happened. When I told him about walking into what felt like a wall, I pointed to where my stomach had hit it, and he told me he could see the spot. I looked in the mirror and saw a deep red mark right where it had hit. By the next day, it was a purple bruise. It's hard to explain the depth of terror I felt in that moment when I really had no idea where I was and was afraid to move, not knowing what would happen. That was about 10 years ago, and it was so disturbing, I still sleep with a light on.
That is disturbing.
That is. What the fuck?
I don't know. I don't know what I would do if that happened.
Seriously, thank God she found the light switch.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was it, though?
Seriously, did she... Was it like a portal and she walked in? That's fucking weird.
Yeah, I don't know.
Next one. I'm a photographer in Maui, Hawaii. I was hired to take photos and videos of a spiritual group that came to the island for a retreat bonding kind of thing. I stayed with them at the resort for an hour and a half from where I lived. One night late, the group had a sound bath scheduled to be held at an old church. We were in the rec room and the chapel was closed. They wanted photos of the location and them settling in, but when I started, I was invited to put my equipment down and participate. This type of stuff really wasn't my thing, but I was happy to be there. The instructor told us if we needed to use the restroom, it was located downstairs in the basement of this old church. I had to pee in the middle of the sound bath, so I got up, quietly went to the door, and made my way downstairs to the restroom. It was terrifying. Dark and cold, and little kids' outfits and toys were everywhere. So I went in and peed and booked the hell out of there. I was going upstairs with my head down when I bumped into someone. I looked up at saying, "Oh, sorry," and standing in front of me was an older woman with a fancy outfit. An outfit someone would wear to church back in the day. She had a hat on and was looking down. I didn't see her face. All I remember is that she grabbed my arm in the process of us bumping into each other. She let go and I went back to the sound bath. I lay back down and thought of nothing but this woman the rest of the time. I could still feel the coldness from where her hand was on my arm. I'm not sure what I believe in, but to this day I can't figure out why she was there all dressed up at night when the chapel was closed and why I couldn't see her face. Overall, I felt nothing but kindness from her, and she had a loving aura around her. Maybe she was real and went back to the church group and said some dumb chick just ran into me. Or maybe she was a ghost. Who knows? That's weird, and I don't like it that they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a total mystery of what happened.
It just makes you wonder how many ghosts you've actually seen.
Like, we could have seen hundreds for all we know.
Yeah.
And they just look like everyone else.
Yeah, that's what people say.
Oh, my gosh. Next one. The piano that we have in my house belonged to my grandma, who is 100 years old and still alive. Every now and then, it will give off a scent of her favorite perfume. She will still bathe herself in this stuff for one day shopping trip. Anyway, the piano had a stronger scent. I will casually ask my mom how my grandma is because she lives with my mom. On stronger scent days, she's usually sick, not feeling the best, or she needs more help than usual. I joke, but not really, that when the whole house smells like her perfume, she will have passed on, and I will know it. It almost feels like the piano is a horcrux. That's weird.
Yeah, it is.
And is that piano, like, connected to her somehow? Interesting.
I don't know.
And my last one. Growing up, we lived in a small house where I shared a room and a bed with my younger brother. He's 4 years my junior, and we spent most of our time together as kids. One night, I dreamed that my brother and I were playing catch with the football. In the dream, he said something to taunt me, so I threw the football as hard as I could at him. I then immediately woke up to the sound of him falling out of the bed and hitting the floor. Half asleep, he got back into bed without saying anything, and I chalked it up to a strange coincidence. The next day, I asked him if he remembered falling out of the bed in the middle of the night. He chuckled and said, "Yeah, I was dreaming that you and I were throwing a football back and forth, but you threw it so hard it knocked me over. We had the same dream at the same time."
Ooh, that's creepy.
That is creepy. What is that?
I don't know.
Those are mine.
All right, it's time for the witty wrap-up.
Yay, witty wrap-up!
I did stories on... I dated an idiot.
Oh, yay. We like stupid people. Well, we don't like them. We like to laugh at them.
Yes, we do. I went on a couple dates with a woman who owned two large, energetic dogs. When she bought them, she was informed that she needed to walk them every day to give them exercise and for them to burn off energy. To save time, she did the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Instead of walking them, she'd take them for a drive and thought that accomplished the same thing.
What? What?
Yeah, anyway.
I will never understand people.
I know. I it's nice just to hear these stories because, you know, we all do stupid shit.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, how dumb am I? But yeah. Then you read these stories and you're like, oh, okay, I'm not so dumb.
Feel so much better about yourself.
My girlfriend and I drove past a windmill on a windy day. She commented how it was too windy out and that they should turn the windmill down. She was deadly serious.
Oh my God. What? Did she actually think? Oh, someone needs to turn down the wind.
Those windmills are making too much wind. Turn it down.
It's going to mess up my hair. Holy shit.
It was the first time my boyfriend and I were cooking together. When I handed him a block of cheese to grate, he turned to me and said, I've never grated cheese before. How do you use this thing? Half an hour later, he apologized for being vegan and said, sorry about my dietary restrictions. Vegan recipes can be hard to find. Never once did he mention that he was vegan. So I told him that since he was vegan, we'd have to make a different dish because of the cheese. To my astonishment, he replied, why would you think I couldn't have cheese? I'm vegan. I can have vegetables.
What?
He actually thought cheese was a vegetable. Shut and he fuck was up. Vegan. Nope. Never again.
What? What?
Oh my God.
How is cheese a vegetable? What? I do like those cheese vines.
Oh my gosh.
See, don't you feel better already?
I do. Yeah, I do. That's what I thought. My boyfriend put a load of laundry in and mixed the colors with the whites. Then he took this stupidity one step further. He poured in bleach to whiten the whites, but was truly shocked when the bleach ended up bleaching everything in the load. I had to explain that bleach will bleach everything as it cannot discern what you want to bleach or not. He was shocked, truly stunned and flabbergasted.
What did he think when he poured the bleach in? It sat there and was like,
oh, separated. This needs bleached. Oh, and this needs bleached. The rest of you are good.
I'll just put you on this side of the washer.
That bleach is very smart.
Smarter than that fucking person. Oh my God.
I worked with a woman who had a hysterectomy after her last child. She started dating a guy and things got serious pretty quickly. Oh, one day, she said they were trying for a baby.
No!
After being together for a couple months, I was surprised and said, he knows that you've had a hysterectomy, right? You know you've had a hysterectomy, right? She insisted that God finds a way.
Sure, honey. God will give you the baby that deserves to get your genes, which is none. Holy fucking shit. What?
Oh. My girlfriend didn't know how to get to my house from anywhere but her own house, even though her place of work was about halfway between my house and hers. She had to drive home first every time before she could drive to my house. This was before smartphones.
Oh, it doesn't matter. That's sad.
The girl I was dating claimed to have a doctorate degree in emotionology. A doctorate. I asked her what her master's thesis was on and what her dissertation included. She looked at me like I was eating doorknobs. She insisted that her degree was a legitimate study. She would get angry if her friends didn't call her doctor when introducing her. Oh. She even kept a ledger of unacceptable words and colors that were not to be used in her presence. What? Her field of expertise improved. Her field of expertise proved that these words and colors oozed negativity and bred evil, causing tragedies, and so on. One of the worst parts of dating her was meeting this whack job gaggle of friends she had that believed all this nonsense.
Oh my God.
It was like the stupid could be contracted and spread.
What did it say? Emotionology?
Emotionology, yes.
Wow.
So, in other words, she made it up.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah. My boyfriend told me he had a lot of inventions and bragged about how rich he would be one day when one was sold. I asked him to tell me more and nearly burst out laughing at his response. He said his best invention were these eye drops that, with just one application, mind you, eliminated the need for eyeglasses. This guy is a male man, not a doctor, not a scientist, and he wore glasses. So I said, if these eye drops worked, why do you wear glasses? Well, these eye drops don't exist yet. But when someone else actually formulates these fancy eye drops, my mailman friend thinks he will get the money because he invented them by dreaming them up.
Wow. What an idiot.
I went on a double date with this girl. She was kind of goofy, but more lacking common sense rather than being as dumb as a box of rocks until that night. That night, we went to a barbecue restaurant and she ordered ribs. As we were eating, she asked, "What part of the cow is this from?" We all chuckled, her sister included. But she just stared at us and repeated, "Did you not hear me? What part of the cow does this come from?" We, in unison, said, "Ribs." She responded, "I know the name from the menu, but what part of the cow is it?" I was done.
Oh my God. Was she drunk?
I don't know.
I know it's the ribs, but what?
I have a feeling she wasn't.
What the fuck? Like, what? Do you just not think?
Who knows?
What?
My girlfriend and I were lounging one Sunday when skiing came on the TV. The commentator said that contestants reached 100 kilometers per hour at that point in the race. My ex literally shouted at the TV. I looked at her and asked why she was so upset. She replied that there was no way that they could tell how far they'd go in an hour since the race was only 2 minutes long.
Are you fucking kidding me? What? And it's the fact that, like, they are so vocal about these things that they are wrong about.
It's because they're so stupid, they have no idea how wrong they are. They don't get it.
I can't understand people like that.
I know. Me neither.
Oh my God.
I had been dating this girl for a few months and it was Christmas time. We weren't super serious, but it was serious enough that I was buying her Christmas presents. I found something for her that was perfect and it had a connection to some funny event involving her and my cat. So I made the present from the cat. I thought I was being cute and she would make the connection. Okay. I've never been more wrong.
Okay.
Instead, she was furious that my cat got her a present and I didn't.
Shut the fuck up.
I thought she was joking.
Shut the fuck up.
To make matters worse, we were at her parents' place and they backed her up. It was extremely awkward. That's when I realized it wasn't going to work out.
Oh my God.
What the fuck is that?
Could you imagine sitting in a room with three people staring at you being like, why did the cat get her a present? And you didn't.
Yeah, no.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. What would you do?
I'd be like, you know what? Never mind. I'm out.
Be like, you know what? Later. You're right. I am totally insensitive. You should date my cat. Goodbye. Yeah. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. I can't. It's unbelievable.
I know.
It's unbelievable. Oh my God.
My boyfriend was trying to bake cookies and kept opening the oven for extended periods of time. When I told him he was letting all the heat out by constantly opening the door wide open and staring at the cookies, he told me I didn't know how ovens worked. According to him, because the temperature was set at 400, the oven is always at 400.
Sure.
Meanwhile, he kept saying, I don't know why it's taking so long. It took an hour to bake one sheet of cookies.
Holy shit.
To make matters worse, he insisted on doing this on Thanksgiving, tying up my oven.
Oh my God.
He was livid when he found out the turkey would take 3 hours to cook. As I'm sure you can imagine, it did not work out.
Well, it takes 6 hours to cook if you leave the door open.
What a dumbass.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I don't understand. I can't. Oh my God.
I don't understand how something so simple.
Exactly.
Could like just go right over their head. Just go over. Like, what is wrong with you?
Well, and then I take it a step further. Like, if you can't understand that, how are you alive?
Yes. How do you get up and tie your shoes in the morning and go to work? Like, how does that happen?
Legitimately, how are you that dumb and alive? And they're everywhere. People like this are everywhere.
I know.
How many did you say you had? 50?
Oh, I've got 50, yeah.
And that's just the people that wrote in.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
It was 1999 and I was a Marine. My girlfriend constantly asked, what is fighting like? How many battles have you fought in? When you jumped out of a plane in enemy territory, did you not think you would get shot down? She asked these questions for months. I would ask her, what battle is going on? What conflict could I have been fighting in? She was always super confused and would laugh and say, I will open up eventually. She told me that she had told her mom that when I got out, I was going to make tons of money as a parachute repairman. To this day, I have no idea what she was talking about. I told her numerous times that I never jumped out of a plane and that it was rare for Marines to be airborne.
What, did she watch some movie and think, my God, that's what my boyfriend's doing right now. And like, hung on to it? What the fuck? Oh my God.
My girlfriend and I went to a science museum and saw a display of carboniferous swamp. I casually remarked that the land would have been different back then due to plate tectonics. She had never heard that the continents moved, so I explained how it worked with plates moving, earthquakes, and volcanoes. She still didn't believe me, so then I found the plate tectonics display in the museum that explained it all. Incredulously, she then said that she was amazed that I had enough pull with the museum to have them set up a display to support my lies.
Holy, that is impressive.
That's very impressive.
And got the whole world to agree?
I know.
Holy shit.
My boyfriend and I were laying outside under the stars when he asked why some were brighter than others. I told him that stars have different sizes, brightnesses, and distances away from each other. You mean they're not stuck up there? He asked. I'm lying there thinking this can't be true. But oh yes, it was. And it gets worse.
Oh, God.
Upon further questioning, I discovered that he actually believed that the night sky was like a big dark blanket with stars stuck on it. The fact that our sun was a star also blew his mind. And that, just like our sun, other stars could have planets was too much for him. I was crushed. I almost broke up with him right then and there. But he was very earnest and wanted me to teach him. So I tried. 2 years later, and a whole lot of stupid later, we broke up.
Aw, poor thing. Yeah, you can't change stupid.
She gave it a good shot. But, you know.
That's like something that children believe.
Yeah.
Like, I can't.
How do you go through school? How do you graduate?
Seriously.
High school? Just high school. Not even talking about like, you know, college or whatever. Just high school. How do you graduate from high school thinking stuff like this?
They must be really good at sports. That's the only thing I can
something.
Think of.
Something. Oh, my
they
gosh.
They just got passed into the, you know,
I
along
guess.
The grades. And oh, my
I
God.
Don't know.
Well, I, what? Oh, my God.
I'm a product designer, so I see a lot of wacky inventions. I had this client who carried around this inventions notebook and was extremely protective about it. One day in a meeting, he was showing me some of it to sell how smart he was or something. One of his ideas was called Elixir of Life, and I thought, huh, that sounds interesting. What's that? So I asked him about it, and he said, oh, it's like a potion that you drink which will cure any ailments you have and make you feel great. Okay, wow. And does it work? He says, well, I mean, I don't know how to make it, but it's my idea, right?
Oh my God, there's another one.
Yeah.
Anybody can fucking think of any kind of bullshit. That's how movies are made, sweetheart. But you know what? It doesn't matter if it does. I don't understand.
I know. I don't either. I had a girlfriend that tended to throw a fit over everything. One day, she spotted me on a restaurant's terrace at my school's campus having lunch with a lady. When we met up later that day, she came storming in like a fireball, screaming at me and insulting that poor lady, saying she was old enough to be my mother. When she finished, I just said, "So, Mom, this is my girlfriend." My mom still brags about the fact that my girlfriend at the time believed that she could pull a guy my age. At least she took it the right way.
I love his mom.
I know.
Holy shit, though. Jealous people are fucking nuts.
Oh, yeah.
They scare me.
Yeah, they could do anything.
Yeah.
And jealous you have people, no idea what...
I think, like, truly jealousy, like, actual jealousy is, like, a sign of mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
Because jealous... That's not normal.
No.
That's not... Like, you do you. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And you could be, like, happy for someone and be like, oh, I wish I had that. But, like, actual jealousy is dangerous.
Yeah, it is. My ex was the oldest of 6 siblings. We were both 20 at the time and had been dating for about a week. I commented, "You have wide hips for a man." He replied, "It's from carrying children." I was totally baffled.
What?
That was until his youngest brother walked in and he picked him up and rested him on his hip as you do with toddlers. I had to sit him down and explain that you don't get wide hips from literally carrying children around.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I don't know. I don't know. My girlfriend and I were driving down the road and she looked out the window to see a field full of cows. She then asked, "Do they call it pasteurized milk because the cows were raised in a pasture?" I married her. And my last one. The guy I was seeing didn't know where the ankle was. Huh? I hurt my ankle when he accidentally dropped me. He went to look at it and said it looks fine as he was touching my calf. I was like, well, yeah, because that's not my ankle.
What?
Silence. Then we started arguing about how it was my ankle that I hurt and me telling him that he was looking at my leg, not my ankle, and having to explain what an ankle was.
How did that person... survive that long?
I don't know.
See, that really makes me question our whole existence on this planet.
That there's so many people that are so dumb. How are we still alive and yes. functioning?
Yes. How are we the only mammals that don't immediately walk when we're born, yet we're the smartest?
Yeah.
How could a baby, like, just in general, how would a baby survive, like, in the monkey times? You know what I'm talking
mm-hmm.
about? It makes no sense. And if people are that dumb now, I truly question what scientists have come up with when it comes to how we got here and, like, us surviving because... That is concerning.
Mm-hmm. It's very concerning.
It does make me feel a lot better about screaming at people on my way home because they're so dumb.
I think everyone does that, though.
But it's... Okay, I drive 37 minutes. 37 minutes it takes me to, like, you know, clock out, walk to my car. 37 minutes to get home. And in that time, I encounter at least 4 morons.
That does
That's
not
one
surprise
every
me.
10 minutes, and I take back roads.
I know.
It's very concerning, and I'm highly... I just don't know. Anyway. Oh, my God. Those freaked me out more than any stories I think we've ever done.
if when it comes right down to it, humans are the scariest creatures
100%
around.
Absolutely.
Anywhere.
Yeah, in any capacity too. They could be fucking crazy, stupid, jealous. I mean, you just don't know. They're wild animals.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay, thank you for listening. Send in your stories, ghoulsnightoutpodcast@gmail.com. You can rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen, and we will talk to you later.
Later.
Bye.